you may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we broadcast live weeknights, Monday through Friday, that is 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Folks, we are not broadcasting live on YouTube. Well, we are on YouTube, just with a static image. Eric the Tech has taken ill. Ooh. Crisis for sure. So although you cannot see us, you can certainly hear us via YouTube. When I say take an L, he's actually, I think he caught what his son has, and it could be strep throat, it could be whatever, it could be just the gunkies, but he's out tonight. Wish him well, please. Send him flowers from proflowers.com. Send them best wishes. But we're also simulcast, ladies and gentlemen, on Blog Talk Radio, BTR. And as I said, ordinarily you could watch us live on YouTube, but not tonight. But we're still running live tonight on YouTube nonetheless. And the links to each audio and video broadcasting venue can be found at our home base on the internet at HagmanandHagman.com. And don't forget, folks, we do have two different websites. One for the show, which is HagmanandHagman.com, and the other for news and information, HagmanReport.com. Bookmark both, please. Did you hear that tonight is the do or die, right, for Cruz? Or is it? It depends on who you ask. It depends on what you listen to. It depends on which side of the abyss you're on. Or so it seems. Folks, portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Pro Flowers. My goodness, Mother's Day is coming upon us quickly. Your mom, your grandma, your wife, the mother of your children, that special someone, they all deserve flowers. Flowers just brighten up a person's day. Oh, the aroma of flowers, fresh flowers, just love that, don't you? Well, we've got a special offer. You get 100 blooms of the free glass vase, $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And if you really want to do it up really great, make her day extra special. Upgrade to a premium vase and add gourmet chocolates for just $9.99 more. Go to proflowers.com today and use our code Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, in the microphone box. More on that later. Yeah, we've got several, well, certainly not a shortage of news. A lot of news to report on, to analyze. A lot of information. It seems like information overload. And we're going to be hitting so much content tonight. Just buckle up, put your seat backs and tray tables in their full upright and locked position, because we're going to be hitting some turbulence tonight, to be certain. I want to remind everyone also that portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by WholeTonesLive.com. WholeTonesLive.com. Have you done it yet, folks? Have you gone to WholeTonesLive.com? Have you downloaded their samples? Have you experienced the healing frequencies, the frequencies that motivate you, the frequencies that quiet a troubled heart? Go to WholeTonesLive.com, WholeTonesLive.com, and there, download the free samples. You'll see what we're talking about. Again, more on that later as well. Interesting news day, to be sure. Tonight's the primary in Indiana. That's the big one. That's the one everyone's talking about. And, of course, that's the one that they expect Cruz to not to make it and Trump to be the presumptive nominee on the Republican ticket here in nearby Cleveland at the convention July 18th. We expect, by the way, folks, we do expect to be covering not the convention, but what happens outside of the convention during that time, possibly live, up close and personal. The reason? Well, the reason should be obvious. America is divided, isn't it? Two opposing camps. Seriously divided. Divided along party lines in the Republican side, the right side, right? The right of center, and then, of course, the left of center, divided as well. Possibly a contested convention there. If you care to believe that, I submit that really you believe a little of what you hear, especially from the establishment media, the corporate captured Illuminati controlled mass media. So, having said that, let's get right into the news. Oh, by the way, a programming note, Stan is also off tonight, so it's just us in the darkness at the studio. No lights, no cameras, just sound. So unless you're driving, unless you're in an office environment, dim the lights. Don't look at the screen. Turn the sound up and let's chat. Just us. We'll chat. Joe, let's rock.
Yeah, we got a lot to get into tonight. We have incoming results from Indiana, and the first set of numbers are out. Trump is winning, or I would say won the state. I think the first round incoming numbers is 55% Trump, 34% Cruz, and I don't have them in front of me. I just had to do a quick restart on my computer, and it's just coming back up now. But Glenn Beck today made some comments. Yep. You know, he was sure Ted Cruz was going to win Indiana.
I'm not so sure that's not a... Or, well, let me rephrase that. Is it possible? I'm not so sure anyone can predict the Indiana primary numbers. And here's why I say that. Did you ever see, and I'm asking this question to our listeners, have you ever seen in person a gambling house, like a speakeasy, where the tables are weighted against the player? Have you ever seen one of those? All you need to do is see one and see how they game the people walking in, how the dice are loaded, how the roulette wheel is fixed, how just the little things are tweaked because the house always wins. And the reason I say, is it possible that Cruz could walk with the numbers tonight? Is it possible that Cruz could win? Well, we're playing in a rigged atmosphere. And I don't know. And I think anyone who said, well, anyone who says that they're absolutely positive of the numbers, well, I don't think that's possible. See, when we, as investigators, when we had taken investigations, or when we had dealt with other investigators, let's say you're going to do, let's say someone is going to perform surveillance on a subject, a target, a individual. And if they can pretty much tell you how things are going to end up, then you know something is wrong. Because you don't know. Unless you do know something that others don't. So that's kind of where I'm at with this. And if you look at the, if you look at what is happening out there in the political landscape, you look at the pseudo intellectuals like George Will, Brett Hume, Juan Williams, the rotating army, the plethora of pseudo intellectuals that form the establishment media on the right, and then of course on the left you've got Tom Hartman and Amy Goodman and all of those people with Democracy Now! And MSNBC and other venues. Similar talking points, just different sides of the same coin, basically. But we're all being gamed. And, you know, I just, looking at this, I just have a real issue. And I think by the time we get to July and we get to the convention, the Republican convention, and then the Democrat convention, I think that things are going to be changed here in America. I do believe that we are ripe for, the potential is high for events to take place, false flag type events. I'm not saying they're going to happen. I'm saying that they're ripe. The land is fertile. The ground is fertile for that. What do you think, folks? I mean, I don't expect an answer, obviously, but in your assessment, just sit back and think about it. In the quiet of the night or in the quiet of the morning, when you're reflecting on the events of the day, whether it's the day ahead or the day you just had, what do you think about? What do you consider, aside from prayer, and what do you think about in terms of news? Do you think, I mean, what is it? What are the things that are on your mind? Well, those are the issues. Those things are the very issues we want to hit, we want to talk about, we want to be right alongside with you and discuss the same issues that are important to you. But I do believe if things go according to at least what has been reported publicly, I do think Trump will walk out of Indiana, likely winning the state. But you know, there was something that happened on Sunday. If you listen to George Will on Fox News Sunday, Chris Wallace, George Will cited two different polls, and they were totally different in terms of the bottom lines. One had Trump just way ahead, and the other had Cruz just way ahead. They both can't be right. The reason I bring this up is because he was injecting to me in his own way. Don't be so sure of yourself. In the manner in which he did, the way he said it, it sort of made me wonder if he wasn't telegraphing some sort of message there. But we're going to be following the real-time analysis, giving you real-time analysis, too, of the Indiana primary as we see fit. It matters most, of course, to Cruz, who may finally end, depending on what you believe, he might just say, okay, it's enough. much to the dismay of people such as Glenn Beck and those who support Glenn Beck. When, what do you think about Glenn Beck, the talk show host, going all in for Ted Cruz? Isn't that a little strange? Now, I don't know Glenn Beck, but I've had the opportunity to interact with him, dialogue with him. My question is, what happened here? I don't know the answer to that. I'm just asking rhetorically, what happened? But we will be walking you through the primaries as well. Now, one other thing that I think is important to the current story, it goes back in history. Donald Trump has spoken about Cruz's father. Of course, Ted Cruz, that's not his given name. That's the name he uses, but Cruz's father. Was reportedly with Lee Harvey Oswald prior to Oswald's incarceration, brief as it was. This according to Donald Trump, right? Have you seen that? That was brought up by Trump. And of course, the source of that was actually a report linked to InfoWars and Wayne Madsen. But there are questions about the activities of Rafael Cruz Sr., the father of Ted Cruz, Rafael Cruz Jr., actually. Just so you know, his given name is not Ted, not Edward, but Rafael Cruz. Does that make a difference? In my view, it makes as much difference as Barack Hussein Obama versus Barry Satoru. I think it does make a difference. Anyway, I wanted to bring that up. I don't know how many people are aware of that. So we'll be following the Indiana primaries as well.
Yeah, and other news we're going to get into tonight. Some stuff we didn't get to last night, as well as primary information, economic and political information. Yesterday, here's a story we didn't get to talk about too much. John Brennan, the head of the CIA, made a statement about the 9/11 report. And this has to do with the classified 28 pages of a 9/11 report that have linked to Saudi Arabia to the terror attacks that happened on 9/11. Now, the CIA director came out and said the secret 28 pages in the 9/11 report are full of hearsay and inaccurate information. Brennan, the CIA director, on Sunday said that the 28 classified pages of the 9/11 report are uncorroborated, unvetted information. It says that some could seize upon the claim of Saudi Arabian involvement in the attacks. Brennan was speaking on Meet the Press, NBC show, and he said such claims would be very inaccurate. He goes on during the interview and, you know, continues to try to draw doubt and say, this is just a bunch of hearsay, this is a bunch of nonsense, there's no real evidence, there's no real proof, and it's not clear at all, there's nothing here, you know, downplaying the 28 pages and why they were secret in the first place. Now remember, Saudi Arabia threatened the United States last week, or when this came out in the public in recent weeks, with $750 billion pulling from our economy, $750 billion they have to pull from our economy, if not only if the 28 pages were unclassified, but if the there's a bill in the House that would have allowed the families of the 9/11 victims to sue the government of Saudi Arabia that the president said he would veto. So, we can't forget either that Brennan had converted to Islam himself.
Well, let's talk a little bit about John Brennan. Folks, it's important that we uncover, in my view anyway, that we know everything we can about the officials, the people leading our country. John O. Brennan, the longtime CIA official with ties to the CIA official, CIA that is. He served as a senior advisor to Barack Obama to the Renegades 2008 presidential campaign. Remember, Brennan was active. He was one of the people that was notified of the passport break-in, but that put that aside for a moment. In 2009, Brennan said that he was pleased to see that a lot of Hezbollah individuals are in fact renouncing terrorism and violence and trying to participate in the political process in a very legitimate fashion. Basically, what Brennan did was legitimize the terrorist group Hezbollah. And he believes that the tactics like waterboarding, of course, are inconsistent with our ideals as a nation, and they undermine our national security because they are recruitment bonanza for terrorists. Not because that they're inhumane, but for other reasons. And he is very careful and has been on the record to explain that jihad means to purify oneself or to wage a holy struggle for a moral goal. Those are his words. And I'm quoting from Brennan. Jihad means, and I quote, to purify oneself or to wage a holy struggle for a moral goal. Those are the words of the current CIA director appointed by Barack Hussein Obama II, the renegade in chief and approved by the traitors in Congress. Now, he supports trials of Islamic terrorists in civilian courts rather than in military tribunals, bringing them over here. That's an issue, a contentious issue. But if we are actually at war with Islamic terrorists, then would it not stand to reason that we are consistent with the execution of that war? And he had, certainly shown his colors in 2011 when he called for the FBI to completely eliminate its offensive curriculum and training manuals which made reference to jihad and radical Islam. He was involved in crafting the false talking points that Susan Rice, remember, she was the Secretary of State mouthpiece, Susan Rice. With regard to the terrorist attack in Benghazi. So he was behind that, and so he served Obama for a number of years officially as the director of the CIA in 2013. He was born in New Jersey. He spent some time, he joined the CIA back in 1980. It's interesting. Even before that, let me go back just a tad before that. He was born in New Jersey back in 1955. He got a BA in political science from Fordham. That's in New York City in 77. He got a master's in government from the University of Texas at Austin in 80. In his graduate thesis, Brennan denied the existence of, and I quote, absolute human rights, and argued in favor of censorship by the Egyptian dictatorship about censorship of the press because they could be influential in determining the perception of the masses of the people. So he argued in favor of censorship. So he's not a First Amendment guy by any stretch of the imagination. According to his college thesis, and then he joined the CIA in 1980. Apparently they liked what they saw. And he became a daily intelligence briefer for Clinton. That's William Jefferson. And according to one former CIA official, Brennan was instrumental in preventing an operation that would have killed or captured or otherwise neutralized Osama bin Laden in 1998. Instead, he advised the United States to, and I quote, trust the Saudis to handle Osama bin Laden. In need we go on? And don't forget, he spent a lot of time over in Saudi Arabia, Brendan. Spent a ton of time there. And, well, just take a look at, just take a look at his, at his resume. Brendan, Brendan has his hands in a lot of things. Islamic. Right about the time, sometime in 2010, Brendan had a very interesting meeting with the founder of MPAC. And I don't know how many people know about MPAC, but MPAC is the Muslim Public Affairs Council. He had a meeting with the founder of MPAC. And MPAC, this guy, this, the head, views Hamas and Hezbollah as political and educational organizations, legitimate political organizations. And you need, when you start putting all of this together, you can see that we've got, in my view anyway, in our view, a traitor, not only in the White House, but certainly a traitor, and of course a man of questionable integrity in the CIA. And John Guandolo, you know him, folks, a former Marine. He worked for 8 years in the FBI's counterterrorism division, became a favored whipping boy of right-wing hate watch and organizations like that. In February 2013, Guandolo, he talked about the Muslim Brotherhood, the global spread of Islam. He's the one, Joe, that said that Brendan had converted to Islam years earlier in Saudi Arabia. Brendan did convert to Islam when he served in an official capacity on behalf of the United States and Saudi Arabia. That fact alone is not what is most disturbing. His conversion was a culmination of a counterintelligence operation against him to recruit him. So the fact that the Foreign Intelligence Service operatives recruited Brendan when he was in the sensitive and senior U.S. government position in a foreign country means that he either is a traitor, or B, has the inability to discern and understand how to walk in those kinds of environments, which makes him completely unfit to be the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Folks, you know this maybe, or if you don't, you do now. And of course, the Senate in 2013, March 7, confirmed him for the position of CIA director by a vote of 63-34. And he was sworn into office not on a Bible, but on a draft of the United States Constitution from 1787, before the Constitution, including the Bill of Rights. What does that mean? I don't know. But most, if nearly all CIA directors in the past have been sworn using a Bible. Why him? Why not? My question to you. And Brendan, he's got a checkered past. But yeah, so, and also don't forget, Bush, during the 9/11 attacks, and we had gone over this before, the Saudis, the 28 pages, it's more than the 28 pages. It's the treatment by the Bush family, by the Bush dynasty, by the people around Bush, by the people around both Bushes, father and son, by the people around Obama, but in particular, the meeting at the, following the attacks, the 9/11 attacks, of the meeting 2 days after 9/11 on the Truman balcony that Bush had with the Saudis, when at which time that no planes were flying except those ushering Saudis out of the country by two private investigators out of Tampa or out of Florida. That's right. When you and I could not fly, only the Saudi royals were flying the friendly skies of the United States. So there you have it. So the 28 pages, oh yeah, they're relevant. But how relevant are they? I mean, how more relevant can they be than the facts that are already before us? Well, there you go.
Brendan also talked about ISIS And he said, it's not just an organization, it's a phenomenon. Also, during the Meet the Press interview, Brennan assured viewers that we will destroy ISIS, he says. I have no doubt in my mind. And it goes on, he goes on to say, we have to remove the leadership that directs the organization to carry out these horrific attacks. And he, Brennan believes that it would have a tremendous effect on the terrorist group. And he mentions one person. If we got Baghdadi, I think it would have a great impact on the organization and it would be felt by them. Brennan warned fighting ISIS has its unique challenges, but calling them not just an organization, but a phenomenon. We know that ISIS is trying to carry out attacks in Europe and other parts of the globe. Also, they are working very closely with our European partners, he said. Brennan was careful not to oversell America's ability to affect change in the Middle East. As he said, the United States has only limited influence to shape events in the Middle East. And a lot of individuals think that the United States can wave a magic wand, and we can't. He goes out there, and this article goes back to the 9/11, and he's, again, he says about the 9/11 attacks that the 28 pages that were classified has no evidence. They came out with a very clear judgment that there was no evidence that indicated the Saudi government as an institution or Saudi officials individually had provided financial support to Al-Qaeda. I think some people may seize upon that uncorroborated, unvetted information to point to Saudi involvement, which I think would be pretty inaccurate, or very inaccurate, he continued. And it goes on from there. With ISIS, you know, he's walking around something that's not being asked by the interviewer, which is, you know, we are told that we are fighting ISIS in the Middle East, from the arming of Syrian rebels in the beginning to now, you know, these airstrikes that are allegedly happening on a regular basis. Where's the proof that, one, we are engaged in a battle with ISIS in the Middle East? Where's the, you know, when the Gulf War started? I remember I was with my dad. It was at nighttime, and we were watching the first nights of bombings of Iraq in the oil fields.
Operation Desert Shield turning to Desert Storm. Storm and Norman Schwarzkopf. Yep.
And look at the, whether Osama bin Laden had any involvement in 9/11 or not, when they officially killed him, or allegedly officially killed him for the 11th time, May 1st, under Obama. I mean, that was celebrated. That was, you know, that was something the Americans came out with their flags and cheered in front of the White House. It was a PR. I mean, they use every bit in a PR spin to make Obama look good and make it look like the war on terror was, you know, basically being resolved by this administration. When in reality, what was being created was the culture for ISIS to be created. And, you know, there have been these beheading videos, and from what I understand, most of these videos, or the people who are beheading others in these videos, are from British intelligence and London MI5 guys. And this is just what has been reported on. Green screens. You know, there's a little actual evidence that shows that ISIS as an organization or a terror group could exist independently of any intelligence agency of any government in the world. And what I'm saying is, where is there a line? Is there an ISIS organization independent that sprung up, a terrorist group, a rebel group of citizens, you know, under a Muslim cause, that started naturally, or is this a continuation of the war on terror, you know, perpetual war for the sake of revenue generating for the rich here? Because there always has to be an enemy, from, you know, the two world wars to the Cold War to the war on terror. All these wars, I mean, in the war on terror, I mean, that's not even an enemy. So, right. I guess the question
terror is... Terror is a tactic, not a target, obviously.
How much do we really know about what ISIS is and what they're doing? And how much influence from intelligence agencies under the New World Order does ISIS have? Or is ISIS run by intelligence agencies of governments, maybe rogue or otherwise? Or is it an organic mass murder cult? And then to further that, this war that we're fighting against them, the thousands of successful drone strikes, where's the evidence of that? I mean, there's a lot of questions here that we have to ask ourselves. There's terrorist attacks that have been happening all over the European and Middle Eastern and Asian continents where ISIS claims credibility. But we never know for sure. There's no evidence presented. I guess re-looking at, re-examining what we actually know is a good place to start. As time continues to go on, the weeks go by, I'm less convinced that ISIS is what we think it is.
I'm not sure. Before you could take it out of context, I think that, as we had said in programs past, Islam has been weaponized. Islam was weaponized by the Nazis during World War II because they couldn't weaponize Christianity. Islam is predisposed to violence, so they weaponized Islam to go after Russia, in particular, go after the communists. And, of course, Brzezinski had done the same thing in 1978-79 with Carter. Even further weaponized Islam against Russia in Afghanistan. Of course, the running joke is Afghanistan is Russian for Vietnam. And if you think about the whole process of how Islam has been manipulated into and made into a weapon by the powers, you will see very clearly, and I think without any doubt, that while there is and are terrorists, Muslim terrorists, while Islam is a terrorist organization based on the writings of the Quran and the Hadith, and then when you look at the different surahs that promote violence, and I'm not saying that all of the Muslims act on this, I'm saying it's promoted within that ideology. Of course, they're going to use that to their advantage, the power brokers. So, what is ISIS? ISIS is a well-funded, well-oiled operation, at least in my view, that has gotten its start, really, subsequent to the Arab Spring, cut its teeth on the Arab Spring, I suppose, and really became of age subsequent to Benghazi, or concurrent with Benghazi. And to release, much like the 28 pages of the Saudi report, to release the information that report contains that would implicate the United States, Saudi residents here in the United States and even in Saudi Arabia, you would find that the releasing the emails, all of them, and the various investigative findings about Benghazi, you would find our fingerprints or the fingerprints of the criminal cabal within the government all over the backing of the wrong people. So just understand, folks, that what happened in Benghazi is not what's been reported is not what actually happened. There were two waves of attacks, and of course, Stevens did not die from smoke inhalation. He He was brutally tortured and ultimately murdered by the terrorists. And of course, the groups that were involved in the Benghazi attacks were proxies of Russia in response to our arming the anti-Assad rebels via Turkey. So when you understand we had this right away, days after the attacks in Benghazi. So when you understand the players and you understand the game plan, the playbook, then you can better see how Islam fits and ISIS fits into the larger picture. And I think that, you know, ISIS is, of course, you might not think, it may not be what it's purported to be, but it certainly is a weapon of the power elite to bring about change. And this will bring about the change for both the religious government, or the religious one world religion, because they've got to outlaw all monotheistic religions to make them all compatible with the state religion. And that includes taking away, defanging Islam, diluting Christianity in Judaism in order to comport with their one world religion. And that's what is taking place today. That's why you've got the Vatican meeting with Muslim officials, meeting with government officials here in the United States. So, and part and parcel to that, and the puzzle pieces to that as well, include the homosexual agenda and include the abortion agenda as well. Because you've got to take away our moral compass out of the United States. You've got to make abortion okay, acceptable. You've got to make homosexual and transgendered and all these other perversions acceptable in this religion of the state in order to dilute Christianity and Judaism and, of course, defang Islam. And that's what's intended. And what better way to do it than weaponize Islam? That would require a response by the governments in order to take it down. This is what's happening. I mean, there's the game plan right there. And these dates, don't think these dates don't matter. We have a bunch of Luciferians in power, and of course, we just celebrated May Day, and not many people really understand what May Day is. May 1st, the on the satanic calendar. You need to understand that. And you need to understand everything that's happening with respect to
dates. May 1st, 1776 was the when the Illuminati, when Adam Weishaupt founded the Illuminati. And that was also the same year that America was founded, two separate events, but there has been a lot of historical significance to the last 10 days of April through May 1st. I mean, you went through a short list off the top of your head last week, from Oklahoma City to Waco, Texas to, just so much history, Columbine. I think April 19th, and Maria Kanis, the author of Prepare for Persecution, points this out, that these are, as you just said, you know, high occult holidays.
Sure.
And that's why we see these events taking place in, you know, these certain time periods. Something to always, you know, understand that there are forces out there, unseen, that they have their own ways. They have their own rituals, and they are not nice. They are evil. I mean, on a regular day, 3,000 to 3,500 babies are killed in satanic ritual killings through abortions. Imagine what they do on their holidays.
Well, and I think that this is all part of what's taking place, that the dates, they may not mean anything to us. I mean, we're not pagans, we're not druids, we're not Satanists, so the dates don't mean anything to us, but the Satanists, Luciferian, the people in power, they find meaning in these dates, and of course they use the dates for both a celebration and as well as to enact certain things. And, you know, from Hitler's birthday, for example, to the Feast of Beltane, and all of these have meaning. So you need to understand that what's really taking place. Now, NBC is now reporting that Trump Sanders wins Indiana in a landslide. This is right now, about as of 32 minutes ago, we're looking at supposedly Trump winning Indiana in a landslide. It's very interesting. And on the various, this is what troubles me. If you've noticed, we have taken a different tactic with respect to the elections. We understand, at least I think we do, we understand that that Trump reflects this desire by the average American on the conservative side. Trump reflects this desire to be strong and to fight back, build a wall, do everything. I mean, he's saying everything right. Cruz, on the other hand, is taking a more moderate approach and is a favorite among the establishment Republicans. And, of course, he's got ties to, his wife has got ties to the big banks and what have you. And Cruz himself, when you really look at it with the intellectual honesty that it requires, is Cruz even eligible as a candidate for the highest office in the land, according to the United States Constitution? And that's Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5. Is he eligible? Does he fit the requirement of a natural-born citizen? I think it's an important question, because are we playing by the rules, or are we just kind of winging it? But yet no one wants to hear it, because that kind of talk is just merely just crazy talk, right? Oh, it's crazy talk. And even if it's not crazy talk, people, especially on the conservative side, well, they'll say, just like they did with Obama, let's talk about that's a distraction. Let's talk about the real issues. Okay. Why is it a distraction? Is it not a necessary conformance and compliance to the United States Constitution? It was not the intent of our founding fathers to avoid having foreign influence in the White House, the highest office in the land, based on the selection of a natural-born citizen. I'm not talking about a naturalized citizen, and I'm talking about a natural-born citizen. And I do know, and everyone knows, there's been numerous, many conversations about what a natural-born citizen is. There's been talk that, well, it's never really been decided. It's really never been challenged. But if you have to ask, isn't it worthy of an answer? And it's never been ruled upon with respect to Cruz or even Obama. No, it's never been decided by the Supreme Court, or the Supreme Court has never offered an opinion on Obama or this issue. So, having said all of that, it's important. It's important because if we toss out one part of the Constitution, I mean, if we pick and choose what we're going to follow constitutionally, is that right? No, of course not. But having said all of that, It does appear that Cruz has taken, or Trump has taken Trump has taken Indiana. But again, our approach to this is not making Donald Trump an icon or an idol, or putting all of our faith in the man Donald Trump, because I think that would be a very, very bad mistake with anybody, short of Jesus Christ himself. And that's not being sacrilegious. I'm being very serious. Because there's not one person, one man, that's going to be able to get us out of this morass that we're in, and this immorality that we're in. And people have this love affair because well, Trump, because of his alpha male. I mean, people in America are hungry for leadership, and Trump at least exudes that leadership. But is it leadership or is it hubris? Or is it both? I think we just have to watch, and I think we have to be a little bit more careful. And I think now, especially now, we need to be very careful, very circumspect. Does this mean that I'm anti-Trump? Absolutely not. I'm not at all. I'm just saying, let's just be very careful and be very, very cautious when we look at these individuals and place our faith, hope, and trust in these individuals to do the right thing. Because what is Trump stand on abortion? He would have the ability, seemingly, to shut down every abortion mill as the chief executive. That's right, he could do that through federal executive fiat, I should say. But, you know, would he? Probably not. But anyway, I mean, there are a lot of issues. But I'm very concerned, and I guess this is just me. I'm very concerned that we, as a nation, the conservatives in this country, are placing their hope in the man that represents an ideology that does not contain repentance, that does not contain the morality, but does contain certainly the right words, the right phrases, the catchphrases, the aspects, the desirous aspects of a strong nation. Just be careful. Just be careful. That's all I'm saying. Just be careful. And that goes for anybody. That's it, really. And on the Democratic side, do you think that for 1 minute, and I'm asking this, do you think for 1 minute that that we as a nation, or the left progressive Marxist left socialist, Fabian socialist and communist, would prevail Sanders over Trump, over Clinton? I don't know. I don't know. Is this country ready for an avowed socialist to be on the Democratic ticket? I suppose you've got a witch and a socialist in the form of Hillary, and then you've got a witch and a communist, and basically in the form of Hillary. And I mean that sincerely. That's not hyperbole. That's, in my view, that's well-researched and well-founded information. And then you've got Bernie Sanders, the socialist. And lastly, does it not concern people out there? And shouldn't we be talking about this? That there is such a huge division between the right and the left, the progressives and the Fabian socialists and the, we'll just say this. Isn't it not concerning to people that there's a huge divide between the Republicans and Democrats? The fictitious political paradigm, to the extent that we're seeing these anti-Trump, meaning anti-conservative people. And I know you're saying, wait a minute, you can't equate the two. I understand that. But for brevity, the anti-Trump people, the anti-conservative people, you're seeing them torch cars, turn over cars, assault others. And why? Why? What has this country seen this kind of behavior before? We have. It was during the Civil War. This is far beyond anything we saw during the 1960s, the racial riots. This is far beyond any of the riot activity, the anti-war demonstrations, even Kent State. This far exceeds that. And the tinder is quite dry. The fuse is short, and it has been lit, and I do believe that we will see things happen this summer that will set the stage for what will appear to be the solution. And I do believe that solution will be the yoke of tyranny on everybody. Just my two cents.
We will be right back after this break. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on this Tuesday. Don't forget, As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, Stan will not be joining us tonight. Keep him in your prayers, though. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.